to Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris from the Clarion Project, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Bad question. The Harris household is wintry.
Oh, dear. Does that mean flu?
Yeah, something like that. I'm still trying to figure it out, but let's not go into my medical history because that would depress everybody.
Yeah, look, I'm a very, very bad, our listeners know I'm a very bad sufferer from man flu. I get very, very ill. Nobody cares about me. And I'm told that I'm very needy when I'm sick. But, you know what? I just don't, I think I wouldn't be if they just gave me the attention that I needed, right?
Absolutely. I'm totally in agreement with you. Just a little bit of love. And actually, I really shouldn't complain. My family are very, very nice. By the way, before I know we're going to get onto Hezbollah, but I just wanted to make mention of one other thing, before we get into that, which is, the terrible story out of the Philippines yesterday, one of the southern, islands controlled pretty much by Islamists, with, a non-official government of Islamists that has been de-recognized by the central government, people praying in the cathedral there in Sulu province, and two bombs being detonated while people were at prayer, 27 people at least killed, more than 70 wounded, in all probability the work of Abu Sayyaf terrorist organization, which is a part of ISIS.
Unbelievable. And strangely enough, not an incredible amount of publicity around the world, certainly not in South Africa, over the story.
Absolutely. I think I've probably said to you before, when I was in journalism school, we were taught that, that when you're trying to decide on your headlines, on your running order for a newspaper, or in my case, a radio station, the basic rule of thumb, and obviously this was just a generalization, but the basic rule of thumb was, one person killed in your town equals 10 killed in your country, equals 100 killed in your continent, equals 1,000 killed somewhere else on earth.
Wow, wow. It's, that is a very, very sobering thought, but I hear it. All right, let's just talk about, Nasrallah. He's come out with, we had heard he was dead, we heard he was ill, we heard he, all sorts of things, and then all of a sudden he popped up on screens last evening.
Yeah, he gave an interview Saturday evening to Al Mayadeen TV, which is linked to Hezbollah. He only appears on Hezbollah or Iranian-related media. And he said, hey, I'm 60 years old, but look at me, I'm fighting fit. And he laughed in that way that he does, where you, he's a very smooth operator, but when he laughs like that, it's the one time I want to punch him in the face. And he's sort of dismissive of all of these reports that he may be suffering from cancer, and so on. The assumption from my team is that yes, there was some form of health related, issue, because for him to stay away from the media, for 10 weeks and more, it is unusual. He said, I am a man of few words, so I only say things when I have things to say, which is absolutely ridiculous, because Syed Hassan Nasrallah, once his mouth opens, does not stop talking. So the idea that he's a man of few words is ridiculous. So there was definitely a degree of cover-up. But as my colleagues at Clarion Project also pointed out, you never know what directives he's getting from his paymasters in Iran as well, who may have wanted him out of the media for a little bit.
Right. So there's clearly a reason he stays away, because even whilst the rumors were happening, we didn't hear a word. It would have been more appropriate then to stand up and say something rather than to wait, let's say, another week or 10 days before doing so. So there's obviously something that had gone on there. Was there anything of value in terms of the message that he gave, other than the fact that he's obviously told us that he's still alive?
He was very dismissive of Israel's uncovering of tunnels under the border. He, first of all, at no point said they were Hezbollah tunnels. In fact, if anything, he denied that. But he did say, you know what, these tunnels have been around for ages. He mocked Israel again, saying, I can't believe it's taken that long for the Israelis to find them. He also warned that if Israel tries anything...
He's laughing at how long it took Israelis to find the tunnels that he didn't... wasn't involved with, but yet he knows how long they've been there for.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, clearly this is the work of Hezbollah. There is no doubt. Hezbollah is an incredibly well-equipped army. It's widely regarded as being the second strongest, second most effective army in the Middle East now after Israel. And remember, we're not talking about a state player here. We're talking about a militia with 140 to 160,000 rockets and missiles, most of them pointed at Israel, but not just. He said in his interview that they have extremely accurate missiles capable of targeting pretty much anywhere in Israel. He also said that if Israel tries anything, then this time his people will invade the Galilee, which is the northern part of Israel, with or without tunnels. He also said, don't be surprised if Syria attacks Israel at some point soon. A lot of bravado, a lot of bluster. Nobody in Israel will have been moved by it. What is interesting and worthy of note is over the last 12 to 18 months that the United States has stepped up its at least war of words against Hezbollah, and also some actions in terms of designating Hezbollah members as sort of international wanted terrorists. So there is movement in America. In Israel, I think it's as you were before Saturday's interview.
Right. Absolutely fascinating. Is there anything else to take away from this interview in terms of the future, in terms of something he might have given away that he didn't intend to, do you think?
Not really. He's a very smooth operator. What I would say is that we shouldn't get sucked into this one appearance and, you know, is he well, is he not well? There are plenty of people to replace him. What's more concerning to me is what Iran has successfully managed to do over the last 15 years, which has largely gone under the radar for most people. The King of Jordan talked years ago about a Shiite crescent, which is this dream of the Iranians to have some sort of control over a massive swathe of land going through the Middle East, and they have successfully done that from Yemen through Iran and Iraq. Iraq is largely controlled by Iran, onto Syria, which is controlled by Iran and Russia, and through Lebanon, where Hezbollah, certainly militarily and also politically, has the say in the country. So Iran has done what it wanted to do, which is to get that huge amount of control so that it has access to both the Mediterranean Sea and the Gulf. And it really does control a huge area, far outweighing the size of the Shiite population in that region. It also has strong opposition forces operating in Bahrain and in eastern Saudi Arabia. So I think that's the cause for concern, and we shouldn't be blinded by, you know, the appearance of Hassan Nasrallah. I think that's just really a tiny add-on to the real history that's being created by Tehran.
Absolutely fascinating. That's where we leave it. It is 20 minutes past the hour of 8. David Harris from the Clarion Project. Do go and have a look at their website. Absolutely fascinating research. I urge you to remain informed.